to Dasco Up for Discussion, where we talk about real experiences and meaningful solutions in the world of disability advocacy. I'm your host, Sarah Sewell, and today we're diving into a crucial topic, the challenges students with Down syndrome face in middle school. But before we jump into that, have you registered for our Down Syndrome Festival and 5K? It's happening on Saturday, September 27th at the Myriad Botanical Gardens in Oklahoma City, and we are counting down the days to celebrate our loved ones with Down syndrome and all the families. So whether you're a runner, a walker, or just love a great celebration, this event is for you. And it's an incredible day full of joy, inclusion, and community spirit. And it helps raise essential funds for the Down Syndrome Association so that we can support all the programs all year long. So if you have not registered, you can go to dsfestivalandfiveK.com to register your team. You can get a t-shirt and join us for the best day ever. And that is dsfestivalandfiveK.com. And guess what? Kathy's back with us. Yay!
Hello.
She's our passionate advocate, longtime supporter of Dasco, and has personal experiences navigating middle school with her child. So, Kathy, we're so glad you're back.
Well, thanks for having me back again. I love joining this fun conversation. And this topic really is close to my heart, and I know it's exciting to work through. At the beginning, you said something about it being... challenges students with Down syndrome face in middle school. And I'd like to say it also challenges the parents face when your child moves into middle school. So, but thanks for having me back.
Well, we are so excited to have you, and let's just get started. We get asked questions a lot, like, what's this transition like? It's so scary from that elementary, you know, hand-holding to now middle school where they're, you know, more independent, lots of changes going on. And it's really tough, not just for our kids with Down syndrome, but really any student navigating middle school challenges. What are your kind of first thoughts about it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, middle school itself is a whole different beast. it's scary. It's new. It's different. It's you're not in your bubble of elementary anymore. And I remember when Addie was going into middle school. That's when I started subbing at the middle school before she got there.
Good idea.
Because I think I was more worried than she was. Mm-hmm. It can be overwhelming and it can be stressful, but I think if we as parents really talk through it with our child and don't, you know, acknowledge your feelings, but also don't let them feel like this is such a big deal, that I think they handle it better.
Absolutely.
When we process it that way. But I mean, you have switching classrooms that we didn't have before. They have new teachers. A lot of our kids were used to having one or maybe two teachers, and now
they could
possibly have several different teachers working with several different aides. At this point, they're wanting more independence, and that's mm-hmm. what they're supposed to be doing. So it can be overwhelming for our kids, though.
And I know one thing that's really important for our loved ones is the routine. And middle mm-hmm. school doesn't start out so much as a good routine because it's lots of changes and shifting in classes. And then, of course, the social aspect.
Right. It definitely can be hard. And again, I kind of go back to, I think sometimes it might be harder on the parents than mm-hmm. it is the child, because sometimes they, you know, not that they don't know, but, or, I mean, they may not know or they may not really care. But as parents, sometimes we put those feelings on our kids, and mm-hmm. it makes it harder for the children to adjust, because they feel like I should be more accepted or more included. Mm-hmm. And so it's a fine line as a parent that I feel like it's a fine role that you have to walk between helping empower your student to be a good self-advocate and not making them feel sorry for themselves, mm-hmm. because they don't need to feel sorry for themselves. This is who they are, you mm-hmm. know? So, but it is different, and you do learn, you know, your friendships are really developing, your independent, you know, your more self-autonomy is developing at that mm-hmm. age, so. So.
Well, kind of, since you subbed, what were some of the takeaways from subbing that you were able to immediately maybe have that conversation with Addie or you know, prepare her better for those first transitions to middle school?
Well, I think what I learned more about that time was that it's hard for those teachers.
Oh,
it's hard for the teachers to learn the kid. First of all, it's a brand, they're getting brand new kids, you know, every year. Mm-hmm. And so it's, that part is hard. Mm-hmm. So I think I, had a little bit more, I don't know, not respect, I mean,
empathy maybe
for the teachers themselves.
Yeah.
So it helped me tell Addie, you know, this is new for everybody. This isn't just new for you. It's new for mom and dad. It's new for the teachers. So just kind of talking through some of that. But at that point, really helping her understand she has to use her words. She has to tell them what she wants and what she doesn't like or what she can do and what she can't do. Because, not, you know, I mean, yes, they do sometimes put a limit on them.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think intentionally. I think most of the teachers weren't doing it to intentionally put the limit on them, but they didn't know what the kids could do.
Right.
And Addie was more of, I didn't know what I didn't
know
how to do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's important. I think you really have to tell your kid, if you want to do something or you see something that's fun and you want to try to participate in it, you've got to tell me and you've got to tell your teachers.
Yeah.
So
speak
they can
up.
All start to advocate for you.
Yeah.
So
just so that we clarify for our listeners out there, our middle school was 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And I think most schools in Oklahoma are that. So just to clarify that's 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. So there's a lot of changes to help happening in that age. I know when we started middle school with Kirsten, she was so little, so short, and I was worried about, you know, her small stature and how she would really fit in. But she did great. I will say I have a fun story to share. We went up a few days before, you know, like to get your assignments and all your teachers and class schedules. And we asked about her, you know, everybody was there to decorate their lockers. And, of course, that was the first thing, you know, Kirsten had heard about in elementary school was, you know, you get a locker. So I went up and asked for her locker number and combination. They were like, oh, we didn't give her one. And I said, why? Yeah. Well, we didn't think she needed one. And I said, well, everybody else has one. Why can't she have a locker? So, and you know, just the disappointment. I mean, she knew what I was asking for her and the word no, and just the disappointment in her face was so, and I said, no, I think we need a locker and she'd like to decorate it. Now, can we get one on the bottom? Because obviously she's not going to be able to do the top. But that was like so important
to her. That happened to us. That exact same thing happened to us.
And I was like, really? You're not going to give her a locker?
I know. I just think some of those things, sadly, they don't consider that, which is a little... I mean, that's what you do all day long, and so you should be finding ways to include. And those are little things that you could do to help our, you know, help the kids feel more included. Addie absolutely wanted to decorate her stuff.
Yep.
And wanted to be involved in it and wanted to do all the things. And then I'm not going to lie, she did eventually be like, I don't want a locker. This is too much work. But... it was her decision. And
absolutely.
All these other kids get that same decision too. So it should be their decision on whether they want to use it or they don't want to use it.
Yeah. And, so. And I think that's just, you know, there's a lot of locker talk. So it was, you know, important that's the way she could socialize. In my mind, I was like, well, she has a locker. She's kind of forced to say hi to everybody in her area.
Yes.
Now, and then, you know, of course they were like, well, what about the combination for us? She doesn't need one. It's fine. If stuff gets stolen out of there, it gets stolen. She just wants a locker.
Yeah.
But we had one right next to the classroom that she could easily assess, so it was not a big deal.
Which, same with Addie, but so then for Addie, no, she wanted the combination.
Yeah.
She wanted the locker. So it took us forever. We went up there several weeks before. That's another thing I would highly recommend.
Yeah.
Go up there several times.
We
walk
did the
school, walk the classroom, go... And they'll, I mean, the least in Edmond, they let you walk. I mean, they let us walk and do whatever we needed to do. So she went, we probably went up there 10 or 15 times before, just so she could show. And then, like, we showed her at first, and then we had her show us where the classes were and that kind of stuff. So I think that's important, too.
Our school does, like, a little orientation the year, the semester before the spring. Kirsten had kind of forgot some things. Yeah. But at least, and that's what kind of got her excited about the locker. So we were not going to forget about that.
I know. Yeah.
But I will say that was just one of the social aspects of inclusion that I kind of had to advocate for. Because that's what she wanted.
Right. And that's also when athletics kind of start to, they in middle school, they start offering athletics, at least in 7th and 8th grade. And so that's when Addie became the manager for the basketball team. And because she wanted to be included in, you know, in all that stuff. And she could. She was capable of that. So they found a place. Now, we had to advocate for it and ask for it. And but they were able to find a place for her.
We did not get involved in any extracurricular activities in middle school, and I wish we would have. That I think that would have really helped Kirsten transition better in high school. But I just, at the time, I thought, I don't know how I'm going to manage all of this for her, and whether, you know, she was quite ready maturity-wise, you know, to be on the cheer squad or play basketball or be a manager. So she wasn't quite ready, but I think there were some other creative things we could have done to include her. And
could have been inquire.
I just didn't navigate that and investigate that any further. So I encourage everybody out there, just get them involved, even if it's just being in the choir class or the drama or band. Any of those things. Don't put limits, as as I always say, don't put limits. But that's a good lesson that I learned. But
You said that about the stature, you know, that is so true, because puberty hits in those ages.
So I was just going to transition to
the eighth graders, and especially towards the end of the eighth grade year, they are, some of those boys are huge compared to the little sixth graders that are there. So that too is helping our kids feel comfortable. Some of them look like grown men there, you know.
Well, let's talk about puberty, because I know when our girls are about the same age, and we get questions here a lot, like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do when, you know, she starts her cycle? And I'm like, honestly, it's not a big deal.
No, I know. I think I worried about it. I wasted more time worrying about that. But I will say, we did prepare.
We did,
We had that American Girl doll book. We read that over and over and over again. And it wasn't just about, you know, your period or whatever. It was
just changes.
It was about changes in your body, about acne, about odors, about, it was friendships.
Body cleanliness.
It had all of that stuff in it. So it wasn't just specifically about that. And we read that book until I was so tired of that book. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking, she's going to start any day. And I think we read it for 2 years. Before she actually started.
I remember taking Kirsten to the doctor, and I was like, when is this going to happen? And he was like, actually, it could happen any time.
Yeah.
And she was ready. I mean, she started at age 12. I mean, our kids progress in their puberty the same as other children as well. So, I mean, it's going to happen inevitably. It was kind of nice that I had an older daughter. So, you know, she was able to teach Kirsten some things and you know, do some, especially just with like body, taking care of her body and showering. I think that was about the time Kirsten really started bathing herself independently. And we switched from baths to showers. And she loved that. And I just gave her some different tools and resources we had the visuals that OT Jessica from camp gave us about washing your hair and your hands and your body parts. And Jessica went through all of that in one of the sessions that we had here. So Kirsten kind of already had an idea and actually came to me and said, can I just take a shower? I was like, sure. Now there were, you know, I kind of helped her and showed her a few things, but for the most part, I mean, she did great. Mm-hmm. And I think that helped with the other part too. And so once she started her cycle, it was like, remember, our kids are routine. So they like the routine of the schedule of body cleanliness too. And so as long as Kirsten's very particular about her soaps and shampoos, She wants specific ones, but other than that, and she doesn't like to run out.
Yeah.
But she did great. Now, I can't speak for boys, so listeners out there, if you have boys, I'm not really sure on the puberty measures and things, but I would imagine it's the same.
I would bet it's pretty much the same. And it's the consistency, it's the starting early, it's the reminders.
Yep.
It's all of that would help any of our kids.
Yeah. Just take a shower,
yeah.
Put deodorant on, comb your hair,
right.
Make yourself presentable to your friends, because
right.
we don't want to smell bad. That's kind of my thing. Let's not smell bad. But I do know puberty is something I think we all fear, and I don't know why.
I know. I was the same thing. But
I was fine and Addie. I was the same way,
been
and
able to
she
take
manages
care of herself,
it.
And yeah, I have. There's never been an issue with
and
that.
And she manages it great now. Yeah. And now there's so many different products that you can use, so that's
right.
really helpful for girls as well. But
right.
But yeah, I would say, you know, as far as our transition to middle school, I mean, it went pretty smoothly, but we did prep a lot.
Yeah.
Like you said, I would encourage everybody, go to the hallways, talk to the teachers. We did our one-pagers again.
Yes, we did too. We did a one-pager.
Just so everybody would know. I think that's about the time Kirsten had developed hypothyroidism. So she was taking medicine for that. And she had some other surgeries that were coming up. So, it was fine. We did have some bullying incidents.
You did?
Yeah.
We didn't, thank goodness. I do also think this is about the time when there's a bigger divide where principals and teachers and administrators, they're not as eager to do the inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really have to advocate.
You do.
In your IEP meetings, because maybe they're like, well, they might get bullied. They might, my position has always been, she probably will.
Yeah.
But I got to prepare her to handle that.
You're
so
right.
Putting her in a closet or in a room by herself or with the other special needs kids
right.
is not going to prepare her for that.
Nope.
She needs to be prepared for the real world. And so when there is a jack wagon out there that is rude and mean and
yeah.
does things, she needs to be able to stand up for herself, or others around her need to see it mm-hmm. to be able to stand up for her if she needs that help too. And the only way that's going to happen is for the experiences to be there. That's
yeah.
the only way it's going to happen. So,
I will say, our bullying incident was, no bullying incident is ever not good. It was kind of terrible. But I will say that's when Kirsten found her voice. Like, that's when she was able to tell me, like, this person was mean to me. And she wasn't able to articulate exactly, who it was or how they were mean to her, but she knew it was not okay.
Not nice.
No. In how their demeanor to them was. But there was this kid that she would go to his transitioning classes, and she'd sit on the bench to wait for a friend to go to class together, and this kid would come by and poke her in the stomach all the time and call her stupid. And, she told me about it. Course, I immediately called the administration, and that's another thing. I didn't make a big deal about it because I wanted it to be a teachable moment.
Right.
I mean, I was mad. Don't get me wrong. I was mad, but I knew I couldn't overreact to this and throw a big fit. So I just said, hey, I think this incident happened. You might want to pull the cameras and check it. And I don't know who it is. Kirsten doesn't know the name of this individual, but she knows their face. So if you want to know, pull up a lineup. And they were able to narrow it down to like three individuals it could have been. And they pulled up photos, and she said it was that one. And she pointed right to the photo. And I don't know what the consequence was. I just asked that, this young person have a better understanding of people with disabilities, and maybe not be suspended or punished, but, turn it into a teachable moment.
Right.
Maybe he has to help and volunteer, because I don't think kids really intend to be all that mean. I think it's just a lack of understanding.
Yeah, I do too. And that's why I think one of the biggest, the greatest things that happened with Addie in middle school, it happened in elementary too, but in middle school, she was included to the point where they had to write, in science, they had to write a report and give a report. And she told about chromosomes and about Down syndrome.
You know,
the report was about chromosomes, and she was able to just specifically talk about Down syndrome and could tell about the, and to this day, she still remembers that. And it helped the other kids.
I bet they do too.
Like, oh, yeah. And I actually have received at least 5 different thank you notes from parents.
Really? That's amazing.
Yeah, from parents saying, hey, thanks for letting your kid do this. Now my kid understands it better. Or, and I think that's something very important that teachers should try to get the kids to do, that parents should encourage their kids to do at every level.
I think if we approach things more as teachable moments. Mm-hmm. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm sure there are instances that many of our families face that take another level of discipline, for sure. But I'm just all for, you know, if we can turn this into a teachable moment and talk through the situation. But after that, there was no, with Kirsten, there was no other incident with the individual. Now she avoided him, and of course then I think she got a little bit of confidence, and she'd point him out, like, that's the boy that was mean to me. And so then it became obvious to other kids, and they were like, what? And so they all rallied around her. But one of the great things that happened in middle school, and it was during the festival, is the team, one of the football team decided to wear t-shirts for their pink out day with George Kirsten's kisses, and they all warm for the game, and she got to be an honorary coach that night. So there's so many good moments about middle school too, where it was more about including her, but really just having a deeper understanding that even though she's different, we can still find ways for her to participate. And she was so excited to be a part of that, for sure, and be the honorary coach for the night and have everybody wear her team t-shirts. So there are ways. Now, did mom have to kind of, navigate that a little bit? I did, but really the coach just came to me and said, hey, this is what we want to do. And I was like, great, I'll get you some t-shirts. And he was like, oh, you'll get them? And I said, yeah. He was like, oh, well, we were going to buy them. And I said, no, I'll cover it. So I think there are ways you can, marriage some things together.
Yeah, I agree.
And I will say, you go back to you talked about the administration. I think the key is, and this is probably every level of education, is really making friends and getting on board with the administration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I agree.
Like,
yes.
You gotta be friends with everybody.
Yeah.
And you probably need to make yourself known more than you really want, and it doesn't have to be that you're at the school all the time. I would just send an email, and sometimes it would just be a soft, like, thank you, like, I noticed Kirsten had this today, I'm not sure who gave this to her, but thanks for making sure she was a part of it. But I'd send it to everybody, so everybody knew, oh, this teacher did this great thing, or this administrator did this great thing. And those little thank yous go a long way and help build that relationship. But and Kirsten was, she did, she switched classes. That was kind of interesting because she didn't want to switch. She just wanted to stay in the room and didn't quite understand. But once we kind of got into the new routine, she was okay.
That is a really good point, because our kids like routine.
Yes.
Our kids like, and so if you don't challenge them, they're not going to step up. I mean, some of them will, but a lot of them won't. But if you do challenge them just a little bit, they'll surprise you way more than you. Yeah.
And we, like, in the beginning, she didn't stay in the classroom the whole time. She'd be in there for a little snippet just to kind of get the feel of the surroundings. And then we kind of built upon that.
Another thing I remember that happened in middle school was that's when they really start working on giving them, like, some independent skills. And one of the main things it seems like every school always does is they're going to clean the cafeteria, or they're going to clean and my theory on that is, if it's teaching her something she has not learned at home or does not know, then I'm okay with that happening. But if we're just doing it to, because that's what they do, or to kill the time, I don't think it's okay. So for Addie, it wasn't that she was above that. She just already had that skill. She didn't need to learn how to wipe off tables. She didn't need to learn.
Right.
But she did need to learn how to wait on people, or like, so they had an area in the back that was for, like, they could sell, like, treats and things.
Yeah.
And she needed to learn how to take money from people and needed to learn, start doing those exchanges. Like, you have to pay for that. You can't just walk out of the store and take it, you know. Mm-hmm. And so for her, they put her behind there. Some of the other kids were out, you know, cleaning off tables or whatever. I do think that's, it's something that is good and it can be good.
Yeah.
I mean, like, but it's not something you should put them all in the same box
right.
to do. And so as a parent, I think that's a role that you need to ask. What are they doing to learn, to gain those independent mm-hmm. living skills? And if it's just cleaning off tables in a lunchroom, they don't need to,
need to do that.
Maybe your kid does. Maybe you didn't teach them at home, and that's okay too, you know.
Right.
But if you've already learned that skill, we need to do something different.
Yes. Not so, everybody's the same.
Right. So, and it's easy, I mean, it's simple, not easy. You know, I mean, it mm-hmm. is simple to do that. It might take a little bit more work on the teachers or the aides part, but it's definitely doable, and it will only help every one of those kids right. in the long run. So
I will say, going back to the puberty topic a little bit, that's when I learned Kirsten had a smart mouth. Her behaviors changed. She would pick up language mm-hmm. and attitude and, you know, all I forgot that, you know, she too was mm-hmm. going to act like a teenager.
Yeah.
Which was
the eye rolls.
Or I don't want to do that, or the bag throwing or whatever. So don't kid yourself that teenage behaviors, they come with the puberty
absolutely.
As well, and all the hormone changes. So just keep in mind, if your child is, you know, kind of acting out, it's probably due to you becoming a teenager and really learning those behaviors that they see at school. And then we've got to redirect the whole time. And I'll say also, I mean, that's where kind of the bad eating habits start too.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you kind of had this independency of getting your own lunch now, and kids like to drink pop.
And a lot of the times, like, somebody will feel bad for her or think they're being nice, and they give them more, you know, uh-huh. treats or whatever. And that's a fine line to walk too, because I appreciate the fact that they're being kind and thoughtful to her, but not when it came to just give her whatever she wants.
Right.
You know?
Right. Food should never be a reward. That's what I've always said. Food should never be a reward.
That's hard to navigate.
Especially candy.
And
ugh.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it just sets them up for failure to have bad eating habits.
Yes.
And then we've got to reverse those. But I will say, Kirsten picked up a lot of the, you know, what she heard and said and saw and all the things. And you got to just manage it like every other teenager. And not appropriate. We can't talk like that. You're not going to behave like that. And of course, but it is reassuring that she did slam the door like a teenager when she was mad. And I was like, oh, well, okay.
Yeah, I mean, part of it.
She is 13. Like,
you're kind of glad to see some of that.
Here we go, and now that she's 19, not much has changed.
Yeah. I do think one of the main things that I could say is I absolutely think you have got to be active in their school career, especially at that point. IEPs. You know, do they really follow them? I would say no. They don't. So it's important for you to make sure that that it is in the IEP in case you need it to be backed up.
Right. I think that's the key to the IEP in middle school. It's more of a backup rather than a follow. And you really kind of need to know that going into it.
Mm-hmm. But I would still make sure anything that you think needs to be on the IEP mm-hmm. is included on the IEP. And that you've written anything, any concerns you have or any wants or any wishes that you have, make sure that is written on the parent mm-hmm. concern part of the IEP.
Yeah. Like, we still continued with speech.
So did we.
But the occupational therapist was like, well, we'll put her on retainer.
I
was like,
oh, yeah, that is a really
they
good
do
point.
Do that in middle school.
They'll start off. And my recommendation don't do it.
Same. Don't do it.
Tell them no. They'll put her on Observation.
Uh-huh.
We'll check in with her and see if we see anything. Well, I live with her every day, and there's about 50 million things you could work on OT for. So,
yes.
And a lot of times they'll say, well, that's more medical. That's not school related. That is not correct.
Correct.
There is always a school-related OT that every one of our kids could benefit from.
Absolutely.
So in my opinion, it is important to continue that. You also just have another set of eyes working with her to, you know, him or her, to see if there is any progress or regression, mm-hmm. or there's anything that you need to focus on. You
I
know?
Mean, with all the hormone changes and the behaviors, their sensories.
Yes.
There's change as well.
Yes.
And I didn't realize that until we were kind of knee deep in middle school, and I was like, oh yeah. And they start developing, Kirsten started developing anxiety towards mm-hmm. things, and I thought, yeah. gosh, we
if you could address that
it early
instead of Agreed. Letting it build up, and you know, then, and it's harder in my opinion to go back and get the OT than it would be
to just continue
with OT.
Just and continue yes. it. Change, and if you need help
change
with goals,
goal.
Call
yeah.
us. Yeah. We'll get you with Jessica. But yeah, and she'll even agree because their bodies are changing
yes.
and sometimes things kind of get missed.
Right.
And so, you know, unless you want the special ed teacher, you know, telling your child how to, put deodorant on.
Yeah. Cause I do think at that point the school has to determine who needs it more.
Yeah.
But in my eyes, I don't care who needs it more, who needs it.
Yes.
Whoever needs it should get it. And so you do, if you suspect at all, which my kid could have benefited
yes.
in every service she received the whole time.
Same.
You push for it. You say, no, this, mm-hmm. I don't agree with that. Let's do an assessment then.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see where you think she, you know.
I mean, if anything, OT can work on social skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean.
Language.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't even think about all those
that's
until
like
now.
That's like our speech. You know, Addie, you can understand what Addie says, but her processing is delayed. And
yeah.
so she needed that extra time to be able to process, to be able to understand, have a conversation back and forth, not mm-hmm. just a, I don't know, because
yes.
those aren't appropriate responses to developing in developing mm-hmm. relationships. You need to have those, you know, processing abilities, mm-hmm. and speech can do that for you.
Mm-hmm. And I think touching on relationships too, you know, just going to who is a friend and who is not a
yes,
friend.
Yes, yes.
And mm-hmm. who is a boyfriend and who is not, or who.
So you can hit several different
yes.
needs and skills under mm-hmm. one, you know, under one umbrella.
Absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think those, because I didn't know who all was kind of in Kirsten's circle and all the kids, you know, she would come home and kind of ramble about, you know, these friends. I was like, who are these people and what are you doing with them? And so you do kind of let your guard down
mm-hmm.
in those years. And I think in all in goodness, because we want them to develop those independent skills to figure things
right.
out. But relationships, you know, that's a big one in middle school, just
yep.
navigating that and having a complete understanding of what relationships are. But we have some outlines in our Boundaries in the Basic toolkit that has that in there too, as well as some puberty visuals. And we'll make sure we share that.
Yeah, that's online, and you should, I mean, that's yep. on our website, and I recommend all parents go and get that. Because
yeah, the puberty section is really good.
Yeah, and even if it's things you may not think of or you may not be dealing with, but mm-hmm. down the road you may, and then you have that reference to go back
yeah,
to.
Yeah, those like, visuals oh, and yeah. stories and just how to get the conversation started are
yep.
pretty useful. But yep. anything else, Kathy, you'd
no,
like to share
I
about
just,
middle school?
I mean, middle school is, it's a little crazy, but I think if you go into it with the right mindset and you go into it knowing that you're going to be an advocate
yeah.
and you're teaching your child how to advocate for themselves,
mm-hmm.
it's not, I thought I liked middle school. It wasn't a big deal for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, we kind of cruised through it.
Yeah.
We did have a few little bumps along the road, but I mean, that's life. We're going to have,
uh-huh.
we're going to have those. And that's just how it is
yeah,
sometimes. But again, you know, and Kirsten learned from those situations as
right,
well.
Right, exactly.
So.
Yes. I agree.
Well, thanks for being so honest and sharing your insight
yeah.
today. And to everyone that's listening, whether you're a parent or a teacher. We just really thank you for being part of this conversation. And before we leave for today, listeners, just a reminder, make sure you sign up for our Festival in 5K, and that's dsfestivalin5k.com. And stay tuned.
.org.
Stay tuned for our next episode, where we'll be talking about some other inclusive communication strategies at school and at home. And stay tuned for our next episode with relationships with Robin. She's going to talk about how we do navigate those relationships. So all I can say is stay tuned. And until then, keep advocating, keep celebrating, and take care.
And don't waste your time worrying so much, because there are times that are hard, but it's not that big of a deal. So thanks for being with us today.
Yeah. See you next time on Dasko Up for Discussion. Bye.
Bye.